Hat Time, brought to you by Heart Cigars and Pipes Lounge, just off 680 and 48th Street, next to Cubby's. It's Heart Cigars and Pipes Lounge.
All right, welcome to a world that we live in that Top Gun Maverick is up for Best Picture.
The really?
The Oscar nominations have come out this morning. It is up as one of the 10 movies for Best Picture. Avatar, The Way of Water, which has made like $40 billion over 6 weeks. I might be exaggerating just a little bit, is up for a lot of awards as well. The most off-the-wall movie that I have seen, Babylon, doesn't get a lot of run here except for the score, which it is. The score is really good. But I thought that it was crazy enough that it would find its way into one of these categories.
All right.
But, you know, in the Oscars last year, we had a streaming service won Best Picture for the first time. Now we could have Tom Cruise winning Best Picture in Top Gun Maverick.
Yeah, in an action flick. I know it wasn't Bruckheimer, but it's like basically like a Michael Bay or Bruckheimer picture winning. It's bizarre, but you're right. Like, it welcome to the world where that is up for Best Picture. And you know what? Probably has a decent shot at winning.
In terms of watching things, have either one of you guys watched The Last of Us on HBO?
I have not.
No.
So I'm getting a lot of people that are telling me that I should watch it. It feels like it's one of those, I'm going to be let down, but it gets momentum and everybody like watches it and then they tell somebody else.
Yeah.
So I don't know if I want to go there.
Like the White Lotus, which I can confirm is worth at least season one. Season two was season one was really good.
Yeah. I don't follow very often. Like when people says you got to watch Tiger King. I'm like,
I never watched
down
it.
Down the road.
I never watched Tiger King.
I let COVID get over and then I watched it.
Okay.
So I was out of the cool group.
Did you do that on principle? You're like, hell no, I'm not gonna do this. I'm gonna let like the craze sort of die off and then I'll watch it on
my
own
terms.
See, I'm
the kind of person that if a lot of people are talking about and telling me what to do, I'm usually gonna do the opposite.
Yeah.
A lot of that comes with gambling as well.
How's that working out for you though?
Not bad.
Doing okay?
We had actually a pretty good year. I'm about
making some money?
I'm at about 57%.
That's making money.
That's pretty good.
That's not bad.
Good job.
Yeah, I as you saw, I won our contest amongst the people on the air here.
Did you?
In a little pick'em.
I didn't see that.
I ran away with it.
Not even close?
Didn't get any money. Didn't get a belt. Nothing.
But you got the pride.
I got the pride. I saved the email that said I won.
You just kind of...
I thought about printing it out and putting it up in the studio.
You should.
You should.
Hell yeah.
In color.
In the face. Yeah, rub it in. Come on.
All right. Brian Christopherson's coming up at 9. Welcome back in, Jimmy, Nick, and Gary. The booty's back to $100. Nick will have a stat for you coming up here in a little bit. If you spent some time on TikTok yesterday, which is being banned everywhere.
Sorry. Every time you just...
Do I not seem like a person that should be on TikTok?
You don't. And I love when you're like, so if you spent some time on TikTok...
It is
no,
one of
so
my
here's
favorites
what
as well.
Here's what did me in last night.
Okay.
So I watched the Baylor Kansas game, and then I watched the crazy ending in double overtime between New Mexico and Nevada.
Mm-hmm.
Go back and watch the end of the game. Like how a lead was blown, and then Richard Pitino taking a timeout forced the officials to go look at the monitor and they assessed a flagrant one and Nevada wins the game. So I watched that. And I was beside myself on why a flagrant one wasn't called and why there wasn't an original foul on a New Mexico player that grabbed the rebound and had people like clawing at him. And then he threw an elbow and it connected, but they didn't call it. Then the play went up the floor. And I knew right away when New Mexico took a timeout, they were going to review it. And that's what they did. If Pitino doesn't call a timeout, they don't review it and they don't assess a flagrant one and Nevada doesn't win at the end of the game. So I was watching all that. And I'm like, you know what? I haven't been on TikTok today. So I got to see how my flight attendants, the day in the life of a flight attendant, are doing.
Yeah.
Or, my God, everything was Joe Burrow. Everything was Joe Burrow.
Does that make
Which
you nervous?
Joe Burrow. Is Joe Burrow the best former Ohio State quarterback that's ever played in the NFL?
Right now?
Better than Tom Tupa. Better than Mike Tomzak.
Tomzak.
Justin Fields.
Like yeah, he's better than Justin Fields.
Arch Leister.
Right
ah, yes, there it is.
Arch Leister.
The late Dwayne Haskins.
Yeah, I mean, he is.
Bobby Hoyne.
He is. And everybody's going to say, well, no, LSU, no.
Terrell Pryor.
Yeah.
Troy Smith.
Well, Joe Burrow hasn't turned into a wide receiver yet, so yes. Terrell Pryor. Yeah, for a guy who didn't start at Ohio State.
Yeah, played 2 years, threw, what, 30 passes?
Yeah. How ironic is that? Your best alum is a guy who never even started and ended up transferring.
Kent Graham as well.
Oh,
I mean, that's an interesting list of Ohio
Tupa's
State,
my favorite,
Ohio State
punt.
Quarterbacks that have been in the NFL. Because you would think there would be more and there'd be more success.
Did Bowserman ever get drafted? Sorry.
Off of performance in Lincoln?
Yeah. Come on.
So I got Joe Burrow on TikTok. Good looking guy. All right. He's got some swag. Like some major swag.
Sure, he's done well.
There also was on TikTok. So this consumed about 35 minutes of my time. Last night.
This is after the games.
Yeah, so now we're looking at like 11:30 last night. And I'm like, okay, I'm not going to sleep.
Good Lord, man.
But
I was in my REM cycle by then.
Did you guys see or hear about the DeMar Hamlin conspiracy theory from Sunday?
Okay, yeah. Was this... You're going to have to give me more detail on this because I saw something. I think Connor had tweeted something about the two images in his suite.
So there was somebody on TikTok that wondered if it was really DeMar Hamlin.
Right.
They like broke down all the video that CBS had from him getting out of the golf cart. And going into the locker room, you know, he had a hood on. You could never see his face. And then in the suite of the picture, you know, like CBS couldn't, because it was snowing, they couldn't get a good picture when he was introduced
and
to the
crowd. And it was kind of dark, then, like the lighting wasn't great in there either.
Yeah, and then the Bills released a picture or released a video of somebody standing behind DeMar Hamlin while he was standing up in the suite and he was waving to the fans.
Yeah.
And his brother was there, and his parents were there.
Right.
So this person on TikTok, and they got a lot of discussion, they thought it was a clone, that it was not really DeMar Hamlin at the game on Sunday. And I'm like, man, going to be a long offseason for Bills fans.
Yeah.
So that took up a lot of my time.
And wasn't it odd when they showed him on the video board in Buffalo when they really needed a stop and the Bengals had first and goal?
Yeah,
it was like, hey, well, imagine the timing of that.
It was a goal line situation.
We need everything because we're running out of time.
Yeah. So where are you at on this conspiracy theory? Do you think are you open to it?
Is this a grassy knoll?
No.
Or do you think this is just typical conspiracy talk?
Okay. Don't you think his young brother would be like, okay, why does somebody play in the role of my older brother? Yeah, no. I mean, I thought about it for a moment. The guy made a point and I'm like, come on. There's no way.
Yeah.
No way. But it got a lot of run for, conspiracy theories sometimes can stretch for years and years and years. Sometimes they can go for about 15 to 30 minutes. This seemed to get about 5 to 6 hours of run where it made you pause and go, okay. Well, he doesn't seem to be as big as DeMar Hamlin when he was playing.
Yeah.
So that was my night on TikTok last night. There also was the day yesterday. This is not a conspiracy theory. So Trev Alberts, who used to be the Omaha Athletic Director, which I'm going to have to tell the person on Twitter, he knows what hockey is because he used to be the AD here.
You're going
to
break someone's heart here.
Before he left to go to Nebraska, and this summer it'll be 2 years there. And Trev will, whatever Trev does in his administrative career, in his top three will always be Baxter Arena / softball and baseball complex.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, he's fantastic at projects, raising money, the vision, putting them together. So Baxter Arena has his fingerprints all over it. And so Trev is back in town yesterday, and he brings his football coach with him. The ice is still down at Baxter Arena. Omaha hockey's on the road. There's women's basketball, but the ice from Saturday night's still down, and so the hockey team is practicing.
Mm-hmm.
Trev shows up with his football coach, and they go out on the ice. And Trev hired Mike Abinant, so it's not like he had to go, hi, my name's Trev. Okay, right. He knows him. Probably still has the same code to get into the building.
Probably, I doubt they've changed it.
No, it's the
It wasn't like Trev left on bad terms. They're like, all right, we got to reconfigure everything.
The code on one of the doors is the code of when the building opened.
Yeah.
All right, so 2015. I'm just kidding.
Pound.
They don't use a code.
Pound.
Yeah, make sure you go 2015 pound.
Pound. Otherwise, it's going to reset everything, and then we're all screwed.
I'll tell a quick little story here. This is my previous life down in Florida. Don't go try this, please, because it'll get me in trouble, because I don't think they've changed the security code to get into the Minnesota Twins spring training complex. To get into the gate, one day I was locked out, and I was like, gosh, I don't have my key card.
Yeah.
My swipe, when you pull up in your car. And so I had to call our head facilities manager. And he goes, don't you know the passcode to every gate on this complex is the year that it opened? I'm like, really?
That's common knowledge?
So I went around and I was like, trying to
open
like,
it.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Boy, are we not going to get. But you know, Hammond Stadium, that complex has been around for, you know, 30 plus years and nobody's ever.
If you're making your way out there.
Yeah.
Feel free to get there early.
Yeah. Well, they've changed it. I know that for a fact. Okay. So on to this. So Trev shows up yesterday with his football coach. And, you know, they do a little picture and, you know, Matt Rhule hops on the ice and, you know, sends a wrister into the net. It got a lot of likes. It got a lot of discussion. And, you know, Omaha Hockey is playing really well right now. They got a big weekend series. They go to No. 9 Western Michigan. And for Omaha Athletics to get attention, they've got to win. Okay, I don't care what sport it is. It's not just, hey, it's Omaha Athletics. We're going to talk about them. We're going to go to the games. We're going to write about them. Omaha Athletics has to win. They have to win to get attention. And Omaha Hockey is playing really well right now, and they're getting a lot of attention. Thus, they're getting butts in seats. So there is the part of being territorial.
Mm-hmm.
And I know people say, well, UNL and UNO, they work together.
There's an unspoken agreement, too.
Okay, Ted Carter works with them. Because Ted Carter oversees the whole thing.
Right.
And Ted Carter loves hockey, and he's been here numerous times, and he's a good ambassador for Omaha Athletics, and in particular, hockey, because that's where he has the most knowledge.
Right.
And people are like, oh, man, all right, great, great to see you with Gabs. I'm guessing, and I don't have any knowledge, I haven't talked to anybody at 60th and Dodge. I'm just my vibe on being very territorial. That's our thing because nobody else has hockey.
Right.
Nothing against Trev. I mean, the man can walk into that building. That's his building.
Yeah.
But I don't think that picture and video went over so well at 60th and Dodge.
I can understand that. I totally understand that.
I just don't think it did.
Well,
even though it's getting a lot of attention towards one guy in the picture, there's the head hockey coach. I don't think that went over well.
What do you think the conversations of people seeing that photo that were engaged in any type of Twitter conversations were talking about? Wow, Matt Rhule's everywhere, right? You know how I feel about UNO hockey.
Mm-hmm.
That had nothing to do with, and I know it, even what Trev tweeted. Hansel is so hot right now, Hansel. No, but like UNO hockey's so hot right now. Nobody read that. It was like, oh, hey, this is, it was more about, man.
GBR.
You got the head coach. Yeah, GBR. You got the head coach. The football coach is even getting down with hockey. Matt Rhule, Nebraska football. Oh, cool. Trev's back at his own stomping grounds. But how much of that was even slightly mentioned, even though Trev put that in the tweet about UNO hockey, Mike Gabinet, this year's team. That's not where the conversation spun.
Or it went to, oh, this is going to be great, Trev, because you're going to have hockey in Lincoln.
Or that, yeah. Then you could go down that. It completely deflected off what I assume was the purpose from Trev. But Trev also being a very smart person, he understands how people are going to react with images like that, where it's almost like, try to show unity of the athletic system in the state, yet nobody is going to look at the two, not just the picture with Trev Alberts and Mike Gabinet and Matt Rhule, but also then subsequently you get a tweet of a video of Matt Rhule firing a wrister in. So it quickly goes from, hey, Gabinet and the hockey program are looking great. They're so hot. I'm their former boss. To, oh, did you see what our head football coach could do on the ice? This guy can do it all. So, I mean, it completely lost its meaning. It was almost sort of like this, the way that I interpret it, kind of a pat on the head. Hey, guys, how you doing? This is another platform, though, to show you what our head coach is up to. That's how I see it.
I mean, there are certain cases where UNL and UNO athletics work together, but I think they'd like to stand alone, to be on their own.
Yeah.
And
especially when it comes to your sports that you identify to.
And I mean, hey, Trev still has a vested interest. He keeps in contact with a lot of us. Yep. He still is very cognizant of what goes on with Omaha Athletics, how the teams do, because there's a good majority of the coaches that are here he hired.
Right.
And, you know, in the hockey is kind of, he's not a hockey guy, but he kind of became a hockey guy. I just saw that picture. It's great, you know, great that Trev's back in the building. But I saw it and I'm like, ooh, that isn't going to go over so well. That will not sit well with the guys at 60th and Dodge. You know, they're very territorial, like the standalone. Yeah. It's our, you know, we appreciate UNL.
Right.
But we are Omaha. And that's us, and especially that sport that nobody else has.
I want to make this very clear. I'm not saying.
Because I just saw this. Well, what about John Cook? Well, John Cook has been very active in helping Omaha volleyball. And, you know, he came to a game, threw the fish on the ice. So he was more, I'm not bringing attention to Nebraska volleyball. I'm bringing attention to Omaha hockey.
Yeah.
Okay. And he is.
I want to see what this is all about.
And John has been, I mean, I think either John one day will retire and he'll go to his house out in Wyoming, or he will say, hey, let's start men's volleyball at Omaha and I will be the head coach.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
I want to make this very clear. I don't think this was Trev's intention. I don't think this at all, what I'm about to say. I think Trev legitimately, genuinely wanted to say hi to Gabs, a guy that he has a good relationship with. A guy that he hired. And yeah, a hockey program that I think is still very near and dear to his heart, especially when you get into that building and you see what it is, because that was Trev. But the way that I interpret it is UNO, even though, as Jimmy mentioned during the Deuce, they're not in the top 20, but they're basically number 21. They're on a little bit of a roll. They have the best winning streak right now, longest winning streak in the NCHC right now. Okay, they've got some good things going on. In a way, it was almost sort of a hijacking of the moment. That's kind of how I think it does sort of come across without that being the intention.
And I probably would have reacted differently if Adrian is standing there next to Trev.
Yeah.
But I don't think anybody from UNO except for the head hockey coach was anywhere to be found.
Right. Yeah, it was just I think it lost its meaning.
Hope this doesn't hurt the chances of Omaha men's basketball in Nebraska doing their deal to play again next year in basketball. Mm. Yeah. It's one of those things that we all are, you know, you're very territorial.
Yeah.
We see, you know, Omaha and Creighton and then Omaha and Nebraska.
Mm-hmm.
With a guy that is extremely familiar with the workings that go on here.
Yeah.
But it's changed a little bit. I you know, Adrian operates a little bit differently.
Mm-hmm.
So, just an observation. I'm sure we're looking deeper than this than most people.
Sure.
So, that's cool. Omaha hockey is getting attention, and again, for Omaha Athletics to get attention in any sport, they've got to win. Omaha Athletics needs hockey to win.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, they need hockey to break the ceiling of 6,300 people going to Baxter Arena. They need men's basketball to win. That school at 60th and Dodge will change forever. The first time that Omaha men's basketball is in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah.
I understand that hockey is the sport. Men's basketball is right there with them. But going to the Frozen Four is not the same as going to the NCAA men's basketball.
No, it's not.
But Omaha Athletics needs both of those sports to be successful.
Yep.
And they can be successful together, even though there are times where they butt heads mm-hmm. over funding and availability and things like that.
Yeah.
But they're winning. You know, you win, you draw attention. And Omaha hockey definitely is winning right now. And so they're getting a lot of attention, and that's great.
Well, and it's funny because you being in the spot that you're in, me being in the spot I am, being around the hockey program as much as I am, you being around the men's basketball program as much as you are, I would totally agree with what you just said there, though. Because college basketball, that's a mainstream. Well, first of all, for sports fans, obviously, basketball, the sport itself, has a much larger following. We know that. But the NCAA tournament, it is one of the best two-day stretches of the year. And when you have your program on display on one of those days, it's huge. It is a game changer. You get to the Frozen Four for what you are trying to accomplish is huge for the program, but on a large scale of how many eyeballs it draws, it's just not the same. I think even any college hockey coach would tell you that. They understand that. That's not a knock on what they're trying to accomplish or what they could accomplish if they get back to the Frozen Four, but it's just not the same.
Yeah. I mean, when Omaha was playing in Boston, that was great. That was a lot of fun. Yeah. I mean, that was a lot of fun. But your university, I saw this firsthand at FGCU. If you are a new program to Division I athletics and the first time you go to the NCAA men's basketball tournament, it changes your university forever.
Yeah.
It did that at FGCU. I look at Oral Roberts. Oral Roberts in the Summit League, which is, you know, we're there on Saturday night in Tulsa. Oral Roberts is, I mean, they're the best team in this league, and there's a gap. Is they went to the NCAA tournament, not only went to, they went all the way to the Sweet 16. Their university has changed.
Yep.
Like, they dance now, which I always laughed at, because during games at ORU, in the second half, they invite fans onto the floor to dance. Like, during the game, but apparently in the laws of Oral Roberts, you can't dance. It's like Footloose.
Well, that's just going to ask.
They promote.
Is there a pastor in town that's banned it?
I always chuckle when people say, oh, that's the school you can't dance. I'm like, got to go to a game. Like, in the second half, at the second media timeout, they invite everybody down on the floor to dance.
All of a sudden, they have a Kevin Baker goes, let's party!
But them going to the Sweet 16, and they haven't been back since, but they're in a good spot to get back there this year, is the influx of people that now are wanting to go to school there,
yep,
that are not from the Tulsa area or the state of Oklahoma, and then the money that has flowed in, that they have revamped their practice facility in the Mabee Center there in Tulsa, which is a little bit of an older facility,
right,
but all of a sudden they have all this money. I mean, look at Omaha's next project here, and you know, I mean, and I know Trev's vision for the next and last phase, which I always thought was going to be his last thing to do at Omaha before he retired, and then the Nebraska job opened up, is they're going to move the entire athletic operation down to, basically the I don't know, I wouldn't say Exarban Village because it's across the street where Baxter Arena is and softball and baseball. They're going to move all of athletics down there and hopefully build a practice facility, get all the weight room, all that stuff, and then turn over the SAP Fieldhouse and all that to the university.
Yeah.
You know, that's the next phase. Well, if you have a huge influx of money and all of a sudden of attention, then, you know, somebody like St. Thomas in Minnesota says, I got 75 mil, Adrian, where would you like me to drop it off?
Right.
I mean, that's what happened at St. Thomas, and all of a sudden they're going to have a sparkling basketball arena.
Yep.
Yeah. So I mean, it's
significant.
You carve out your piece.
It's significant.
I don't think that was good yesterday. All right, 8:38. BC's coming up at the top of the hour on Mornings with Sharp and Hanley on 1620 The Zone.